Most colleges today ask you to leave your faith at the front door. But at Northwest University in Kirkland, their door is wide open. Listen as NU's Provost, Dr. Sarah Drivdahl, describes how their approach to academics encompasses the whole person.
Christian, higher education has many different purposes, but I would say the most important thing that a university can do is to help students find their call and serve Christ to their fullest potential. And that is something that Northwest Universities and the Ivy League are doing, that we are so good at helping students figure out who they are, learn the information they need, become the people they need to be to really advance the kingdom of God. And when I'm in a classroom at Northwest University, we get to talk about not just this topic, but we get to talk about how Christ relates to that topic. We get to teach the whole person.
NU's application deadline for fall classes has been extended to June 1st. A Christ-centered college experience is still possible, and generous scholarships are still available. Apply today at northwestu.edu.
Don't be so eager to be offended. The narcissism of small differences leads to the most boring conformity.
Think about that.
This is not acceptable.
My opinion does matter, unfortunately, for you.
Sue me for having a life.
You jabroni!
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Own goal.
Pretty good.
Own goal. That's the word I got, an own goal. A lot of stuff, a lot of irons in the fire. And a mixed bag of a morning montage, I've got to say, though I'm pretty happy about it. Not going to lie to you, the Boeing earnings just came out here pre-market opening, and they were not as bad as most expected they should be. In accordance with GAAP principles, generally accepted accounting principles, and we'll hear from CNBC experts about that. The big boost, possibly... for Tesla, when government, especially socialist Washington state government, gets involved in a market, they will mess it up. You have EV hybrid electric car parking lots filled in the PNW. You have them calling back to Detroit saying, don't even ship us anymore. And then you have the state of Washington announcing an incentive program to make them more affordable for the common person and the whole thing. And the issue is not, can you get into, because right now the market is taking care of that. I know someone who is a server who bought a used Tesla, a Model 3, whatever it is. And they were practically giving it to her for her trade-in value and what she brought to the lot. The issue isn't affordability right now. Go on Craigslist, take over someone's list. The issue is, where do you charge it? And so now you're gonna put working class, poor, minority American. That's effectively what this is. This is Inslee's Minorities in Hybrids program. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But I mean, with all due respect, you know, good for you. It's your choice, the whole thing. But the market has spoken. People don't want them because they don't go as far as they say they should. And when they don't go that far, where do you put it? So unless you're going to festoon Rainier Avenue with the charging stations, I don't know why you would do this, besides the tax revenue. And like like solar panel manufacturers in this country, and they're few and far between, besides Solarmax, Riverside, California, they've discovered that without significant, beefy incentives, people, they don't make sense. It makes no sense. And a car, you know, for the same reason you don't drive your house around, a car, if you're not near an overnight charging station, it doesn't make sense. So anyway, Washington launched EV rebate program. Here's what you could save. And that's the sticker. That's the upfront cost. We'll get to that. Teens shooting up 7-Elevens. What do the foreign immigrants? I love the foreigners because they speak plainly and openly about the things that they see. And good for Channel 4. They got a guy. We'll hear from him here in just a second. And you know and we'll talk at 7:30 with the House Freedom Caucus did finally say they did the math on public broadcasting, and they said, yeah, time to really get rid of this thing or make it commercially viable. If it was a good product, and granted, they do good work. I wouldn't, it would just like Hulu or Fubo, If you gave me the option, I would listen and even be subject to an actual labeled commercial. Instead, they'll say a sponsor, and it's a commercial. And so they're not really fooling anyone. So they are. So money is coming in, but some of it is my tax dollars, and so that's my problem there. Well, but anyway, enough messing around. MAFO. It's mess around, find out. Let's just find out. And the Silver Alert is over, and it was all too formulaic, almost like there's a format or something.
Who has the best seagull impression?
A murder suspect in the same car as a child.
I heard the word pecker one more time. I thought I was going to lose my mind.
And they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
He did it again. Some origami ASMR.
Was introducing us to Oliver and his band of poets.
I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware.
Is that the police are swift. These guys, they are well trained. May God bless them.
So far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
There you go, Mitt Romney, with that advice about paying hookers.
That's timeless wisdom.
I'm so sorry, KTH, Brian, who's back here. And he has to add, as far as I know. Come on, Matt. He's a good-looking guy.
Is this Dark Romney? Like we have Dark Brandon?
It might have been Dark Romney on that. overnight, you had your robbers. You had teen robbers again. And you had a foreign witness pointing out that how are teenagers getting guns? And then when they do get the guns, they're sticking them in your face. No one likes this.
Now at 6, they're not old enough to even drive legally. But a pair of 14-year-olds are now in custody after an armed robbery and pursuit in Kent. Tonight we're seeing video.
That's right, Corky. You can't drive at 14 in the state of Washington or whoever you are.
Video of the masked robbers running away from the 7-Eleven at 64th Avenue South and West Meeker Street.
The store's manager tells Como's Jeremy Harris that this is now the fourth time he's been robbed. Jeremy's live in Kent. Frustrating and frightening for those employees, Jeremy.
Marion Preston, no doubt frustrating for them, but this time police were able to get into the area very quickly. They spotted the getaway car and gave chase. They ended up arresting two 14-year-old boys who they now believe may be linked to other crimes here in the city. The staff at this 7-Eleven were stopped.
And that's because they're not original. Once they get to a pattern and it works, they come away with weed or cash, they'll do it again and again and again. They'll always do it with their finger on the trigger. And I don't even know if the weapon functions, but that's a quick way to go from teen to adult court, by the way, boys.
King shelves for the day when the robbers with masks and hoods come in
around and end someone's life
around 5 a.m. Quickly, one suspect goes over the counter and then they jump back in the Kia and take off.
So a stolen Kia, and you heard that 5 a.m. How do you get 14-year-olds up at 5 a.m.? Cash and... track practice? I don't know.
We're stocking shelves for the day when the robbers with masks and hoods come in around 5 a.m. Quickly, one suspect goes over the counter and then they jump back in the Kia and take off. But they didn't get far before Kent police caught up with them.
That's called the long arm of the law. So anyway, they're teens, so guess what? You can't question them without a lawyer present. Because they're just kids, they're just juveniles, they're waving guns around.
For them, you know, I mean, I feel like they're just working people like the rest of us, you know, have a pistol stuck in your face for, and what are you going to get for it, a couple $100?
If that.
And here's the thing, state law prohibits police from questioning minors outside the presence of a lawyer, so we don't know what information Kent police has been able to get out of these two teenagers who
were. Or even if it's admissible, but they will be in juvenile court later on today. Well, I put it to you, Producer Greg. You tell me, one of these I think is spot on. And I mean, as if your list of reasons to go to Belgium is not already full, put on the top of page 2, spot on seagull impressions, and some of them are way off.
A contest in Belgium deciding who has the best seagull impression.
they start with a woman who I think has swallowed a seagull or something. Right? You hear that?
Yeah, that's what qualifies as entertainment in the Europe.
That sounds like you're on the number two end of the Walla Walla heading to Winslow.
This isn't Europe, okay? There are rules here.
When you're throwing your fries up at them and that whole thing. I mean, this is spot on. This is Ivers on Alaskan Way. There you go. Winner, winner, seagull dinner. Now, listen to the rest of these people who clearly are Belgian. Not even a seagull. So anyway, the first Belgian was correct on that, and the rest of them. But I mean, you know, keep in mind, even the phone rings differently in Europe. It goes neek neek and oogu oogu and the whole thing.
I saw a video on social media the other day of a game show in Germany where the whole object and the whole basis for the
something
show.
Something to do with poop, right?
No, something to do with pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
They
cut it in half symmetrically.
The contestant tries to cut.
Eyeball it. Just with the eyeball.
Perfectly in half.
Yeah.
And whoever gets closest to 50-50.
And then
wins.
They weigh them. They weigh each half.
That's the whole show.
Yeah. Sehr gut.
America's already great. Okay.
Nummer eins, I know. And tonight, welcome to Who Can Cut the Most Symmetric Pretzel. A uniquely German show. Okay. In Spain, there's an annual championship for best prosciutto cutter. Best, and they had their first ever female champion last year.
I believe it.
But the art of cutting a leg of beef as thin so you can read through it is a national pursuit. And because that's how they serve it. That is how you're not supposed to make a prosciutto sandwich or an open-faced toasted prosciutto sandwich. You're supposed to eat it like that. From a cracker or whatever, but it's supposed to be sliced so thin that it just melts on your tongue.
Okay, here.
When you can find a tapas bar where they can do that.
I found audio of that German TV show, and unlike Bundesliga, there is no off season.
There's no Johan Cruyff. There's no downtime for pretzel slicing.
Anschneiden, deshalb dreht das Messer auf die andere Seite.
So, wir fangen hier an. Oh, das ist
perfekt. Boah,
das ist perfekt. Das ist perfekt.
No translation needed.
The perfect pretzel slice. So
it's captivating television.
Das ist perfekt. Alles wieder da.
That's just good.
There you go. If only we could be as good as the Germans. Say, Rishi Sunak and Olaf Scholz at a press conference this morning. And I won't play it, but they did ask Olaf, well, what do you think about NATO and Trump? And he said, well, we have faith that the NATO will remain intact. And then he said it in the Deutsch and the whole thing. this is disturbing. So I forgot, but Ilhan Omar's niece was kicked out of Colombia or where?
Daughter.
Actual daughter.
Immediate family.
And again, if you don't have a child at Columbia, this is not a national story. The word is that Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas and another congressperson was asking the president to call up the National Guard to guard the Jews in New York, which is stupid because they work for the governor. They work for Kathy Hochul. She has the authority today. If her adjutant general said, hey, I need to send the guard down there, it's not a riot. It's a bunch of ignorant, privileged, wealthy 18-year-olds is what it is, who are believing BS like this when a U.S. congressperson comes in front of them and reinforces and validates the hooey that they believe, such as seen here.
I am incredibly moved by your courage and bravery as a student body in putting your bodies on the line to stand in solid.
What do you mean on the line? Well, like, what's the threat? They're going to get napalmed from an Israeli F-35? No. But anyway, that part of the thing is fake grievance, is fake bravery.
To end the genocide that is taking place in Gaza at this moment.
She had to say Gaza. See, because there you go. And I should point out, from Somalia and Sudan, she knows what real genocide should look like. And it doesn't look like a bunch of North Face polar fleece in Columbia, at Columbia University, I should say.
I have to tell you, it's been...
And now she's about to give oxygen to a provable lie.
Incredibly painful for the last 5 days to see the discovery, while there is a discovery, of a mass grave of more than 200 Palestinians in Khan Yunis, that our media, our elected politicians, our president, every single leader is spending their time and energy in talking about the protests as if you all are not here to give voice to the genocide that...
What she's talking about, and it's really a little irritating to hear someone who knows what the term genocide means misusing it on this, because, again, the media is aware. The reason they're burying this story and leaving it for Al Jazeera is because there are satellite photos that show that this literally was dead people put in a mass grave outside the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis because there was no more room. I mean, this was a Hamas-directed use of a big open field next to the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis before the Israelis ever set foot there. Because the term mass grave, the misimpression that she's counting on is that they did it Serb style, like Nikola Jokic's brother. Did you see that in Denver?
No, I missed that.
His brother was in the crowd and went wailing on someone like a drunken Serb.
Nice.
And so anyway, in Bosnia, they lined up the Serbs and Croats lined up Muslims on the edge of a mass grave. In Lithuania, the Nazis lined up the Jews on the edge of mass graves and then shot them in there. That's not what this was. This was basically disposal of bodies that were building up in the hospital. Why were they dying there? Because they were not taking advantage of the medical aid that they were getting. And it was the Israelis obviously take this as a blood libel, that the IDF put the bodies of victims into a mass grave. You know, obviously to Jewish people, that's a blood libel. And you better watch it, because the IDF do pay close attention to how the International Criminal Tribune works in this day and age. And they grabbed Hamas cell phones. They have the satellite photos. They will slam this real hard. And the word is out. That's why MSNBC hasn't done the story, because it's not her telling of it. That it was like Srebrenica or something, that the most egregious crime in Europe since World War II, is going to be proven false, because Qatar did this on Al Jazeera. Oh, they found a mass grave. It must have been the Jews' fault, because that would be the ultimate irony, right? I mean, you'd have to find like a gas chamber to find something more ironic. But this is part of the reason, because the word is out. And also, by the way, streets of Manhattan, streets of Berkeley, anywhere they're doing mass student camp-ins, you're seeing these lime green and gray nylon tents, you know, with the fiberglass poles that you bend down and capture the floor of the tent, and you put the tent over it. They're cheap, they're mass-produced, and they're bought by Qatar. And why? Well, because this story in the Middle East, what they're hoping for is American Seattle-style WTO riot gear cops, you know, swinging their riot sticks at students, at privileged, wealthy students in the name of Gaza. And they love this. Al Jazeera loves this, because they're the only Arabic language satellite TV station that's aired in Iran. The Iranians love this. They're funding this through Qatar. Qatar has a couple different. It would kill you. The money that Qatar has spent in American universities. I did a 10th break on this about 3 weeks ago, I think, right?
Somewhere in there.
You're some kind of producer. You post those. And the actual amount of money that the Emirate has put into American universities, and it's everything from printing T-shirts to banners to supplying you with tents. When you see those lime green and gray nylon tents, and they're in, I mean, go on Google Images and do tent protests, camp in Berkeley, camp in Columbia, you'll see them. They're all the same. They were bought in one tranche from like Cabela's or somewhere. They bought the cheapest four-man tent they could find, just like some NGOs do here in Seattle, because you see a common sort of red and gray tent here that's handed out. Well, the run that Al Jazeera got to hand out to student groups, they don't hand them out to the sophomores and juniors. They hand them out to the organizers, and they give the organizers a little something for their time. So yeah, Al Jazeera is paying cash out of pocket to American companies for tents and things like that to get them down there, because they love hearing this idiot audience with an idiot congressperson going on about the genocide in Gaza. And now they have what Hamas wanted. Give us a visual aid, please. And well, what luck. We have a hospital full of dying people. When they die, let's put them head to toe in a mass grave, in a Bosnia-style mass grave. It's disgusting. It's so gross. In some cases, by the way, some of the dead in the mass graves still have their IV lines in. That's how sloppy Hamas was with this particular fake. And it's, I mean, I hate saying if you've seen them before, you know, but I mean, I'm here to tell you, whether it was Zvornik or Srebrenica, if I saw a body in a mass grave, and I saw a few with an IV line, I would say they pulled him out of a hospital. I saw the body of an eight-year-old boy who had a Chicago Bulls three-peat shirt on, so that would place it around 95, wouldn't it? Well, okay, there you go. So there's people just weaving tales at Columbia University, and there's people that know what they're looking at, and many of them are in the Israel Defense Forces. Israel needs to defend itself a little better here on the information war, because when you have a congressman spreading lies like this,
it's taking place in Gaza.
Gaza. You've kind of lost momentum. Back in a second, we'll checking if you're texting 800-465-8770. Brian Sutcher, my own grievance when we come back, AM 770 KTTH.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. How's everyone doing? Here's why I'm not doing so great. Remember, so Monday, I'm telling you On Sunday night around 5, I get a text that my kid's bus route is canceled. And if your child, if you don't have a, if we're calling you too late to have a backup plan, your absence will be excused. I made sure there was a backup plan because that's me. And so they can't even, after my red hot no vote on the school levy yesterday, they retaliated by texting me during a very private moment in a very private room here in the Radio Ranch around 5 a.m. that the route's been canceled again today. And then I waited for the punchline, which is if your kid can't make it, they won't be marked absent. And I went, oh, thank you. And all that. So anyway, not happy about this, but then they'll be shocked when that levy fails. Hamas chief Sinwar exited tunnels, met with terrorists above ground, report. So Israeli surveillance, which is constant, as they say, an unblinking eye over the city of Rafah and all that. And this is where Hamas doesn't think triple level chess on this one. The Israelis will have video of them moving bodies into a bulldozed out crude ditch and then covered in soil. And that's the mass grave that they've unearthed. And so it must be the Jews that did it because Hamas is spilling blood in the information ocean. Yahya Sinwar, the head of Hamas, the Missing Families Forum, the Hostage Missing Families Forum said they found that the reports about Sinwar's exit from the tunnels were reliable because they saw a video of him actually doing it. He exited the terrorist movement's tunnels around Rafah. Now, remember, this is the final city. And the Biden administration keeps telling Israel, don't go to Rafah. And they're saying, well, that's like me saying, you telling the Red Army in May of 1945, I would go ahead and leave Hitler's bunker alone. It's a honeymoon. I mean, really, you know, come on, leave the man alone. Robbery in Kent. We'll get to that. And the Amber Alert resolution, the entire, and producer Greg, did you see the full story on the guy Weezer?
Yeah, terrible story.
Yakima cop, armed guy, getting divorced because the wife discovered that he was involved with a 16-year-old. Met her when he was a resource officer at a middle school in Yakima. Then he claimed she became obsessed with him. And then it moved physical. He gets her pregnant. He killed her, too. So he kills his wife. He gets served with a custody order and apparently a domestic violence restraining order. And that comes. And by the way, women, pay close attention to this. Because that comes with a mandatory hand over your weapons order, a lawful order from a county superior court judge that you reportedly have the following weapons, according to your wife, hand them over upon receipt and signing for this domestic violence restraining order. And but they're made of paper, not Kevlar. And so he doesn't hand them over and he kills his wife at the elementary school where she teaches in front of students. And then meanwhile, he's already killed the pregnant 17-year-old. And then he takes his son, and his intention was to go back to Mexico. So they knew up and down I-5 to look out for that silver Corolla. They get the guy. They fence him in. They pit him or whatever he did. But he pulled over and he killed himself because he knew that this is not going to end well for him. And it was not going to, with two bodies back in Yakima. So a really, really horrible episode, and pointing out to a couple weaknesses in that system. And one of them is when you legally order someone who, and also, by the way, the wife, the domestic violence restraining order was because the guy had been physical and that he had other unspecified mental disorders. And was, well, he had loads of guns. And that's not a great combination. And so did Yakima County follow through and make sure that he went right home and surrendered his weapons? I don't know. But if I were at the Yakima Herald or KYAK or whatever, wouldn't that be the best talk station ever?
KYAK?
K-Y-A-K. Hey, you're yakking on KYAK. Wouldn't that be the best? Because like K-Talk is K-T-L-K, but K-Yak is K-Y-A-K, if that's not a station. I'm making that up. But, yeah, so if you're at the Yakima Herald, go right to the Sheriff's Department when they open up today, their PIO, and say, was the DV restraining order, when the guy acknowledged receipt of it, was he given a time limit to get the weapons in? Because that is the issue for a lot of women. Because you served, because maybe you don't live in the house anymore, the domicile, and the spouse was served with that. If you are willing and have been trained, did you know that that gap between the person you want to be shielded from and you being able to pick up a legally purchased handgun is 100 hours or plus? There's no exception for someone who's saying, yeah, but the threat is going to be imminent because the violent person was just served with the DVRO or the TRO and the notice to disarm. And so the person who was served that knows that you're unarmed. And probably a good bet, you know, for the next, at least for the next couple of days. And so I just think that's a glaring loophole in there. And I mean, they're not, and I mean, in the interest of being fair, I have a friend who took his son duck hunting and was in the middle of a fairly contentious divorce. And she had already taken up with some new dude. So there was a guy at home. So his son was talking about, you know, his new uncle that spent the night and stuff like that. So he wasn't real happy. So as they were cleaning the ducks, he gave a duck head to his son and he said, give that to him. So the son goes home and gives his new uncle, mom's new friend, a duck head. And the guy decided that was a death threat. And so he called Kirkland PD. And he filled out the paperwork, and they granted his restraining order, and it came with a mandatory domestic violence restraining order and disarmament thing. And so they showed up, and they said, here's a list of firearms that you possess according to your wife. And he had to hand them over. And so we did think of a workaround, which was a prominent Kirkland attorney said, have him sell you each firearm for $1 right now. And we just missed that window. But folks, don't do violent stuff. It's just a bad scene. But that was a weird loophole in that. But it was all because of arbitrarily the new boyfriend of his ex, of his separated wife, decided that the son, well, it was dumb saying, here, give the new guy this severed duck head. That was stupid. Because the son said, hey, my dad said to give you this. And I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of gray area in being handed a severed duck head. But there's one thing is for sure. Someone's going to eat delicious mallard. I didn't know this, but Biden, more clearly, you know, that story from last week about how cannibals ate his uncle and the diplomatic row it caused between Papua New Guinea and the United States. He was kind of mumbling. But he did make it crystal clear later on. He was on a better mic. He was at a union thing in Pennsylvania yesterday, and he's crystal clear. And this is the one they heard in New Guinea. And this is why that one professor said, well, sorry, in 1944, we were not just eating every white man that parachuted in. And that's kind of what Biden's saying here.
My Uncle Bosie Ambrose J. Finnegan, he flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
I like an awful lot of people in this audience.
That's like eating roadkill. You know, and that's what the professors in New Guinea said was, look, my grandpa was not sitting around eating every white guy that parachuted in. But that's little better mic technique on that one. Back in the second AM 770 KTTH.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. As I'm scanning the headlines of the Yakima Herald today, one jumps out at me. Lowland lake fishing season opens statewide Saturday.
It's exciting times.
Ex-police officer wanted in two killings and kidnapping shoots kills self in Oregon. Yakima County school districts face tighter budgets. White Pass found ways to handle the slow storm. Wait, what? Oh, okay. So anyway. Yakima dealing with the, trailer for RV fire in Sela. An ex-police officer, former Washington State police officer, wanted after killing two people, Yakima officer, by the way, including his ex-wife, found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound following a chase in Oregon, authorities said Tuesday. He was sort of halfway between Eugene and Salem. if you know the road, if he ever drove down there for a Oregon game, or somebody, his one-year-old boy who was with him was taken safely into custody by the Oregon State Police. Troopers began chasing the ex-Yak monster, Elias Wiesar, when they saw him driving southbound on I-5 near Eugene around 3 p.m. yesterday. So he ended the situation there. Anyways, just kind of curious if it could have been predicted a little better. Let me just break the news for everyone. Boeing's earnings pre-opening, the market opened at 6:30. Boeing announced earnings a little earlier, and they were not as bad as people thought, using generally accepted accounting principles.
And Boeing was out with first quarter results. Plane maker reporting a smaller than expected loss, but commercial airplane revenue dropped by almost a third versus last year. Join us now with his reaction is Ron Epstein. He's Bank of America Securities Research Analyst. He has a $190 price target on Boeing with a neutral rating. The stock's reacting well today.
And this is me in a parallel world on CNBC looking into a camera in my basement surrounded by computer monitors analyzing numbers. This is absolutely me, except we had to pay attention at school.
Ron and is not far from...
Anyway, bottom line, there's unquiet. There's disharmony because the CEO Calhoun announced he's a lame duck. They don't have any idea what they're going to do there, and they need stabilization so that airlines that are already committed with money in the bank can get the delivery of their aircraft. It's not just that you got their money; now you have to deliver a workable airplane. So there's that. There's disharmony in the entire commercial aircraft market, including the Airbus. But their disharmony is mainly how do we fit your order in? So there's that. And we haven't. It was initially a boost to the stock price, but it's going to be a long day. So there's that. So anyway, here's producer Greg, who's been in radio a long, long time. There's unspoken rules in radio, and one that is virtually spoken out loud is your radio play-by-play team. If a call hasn't been challenged by the players on the field or the manager of the baseball team, you don't call balls and strikes from the booth. And in football, you don't call holds and clips and unnecessary roughness based on a review that you saw, unless it's the red flag is thrown on the field. You don't say, you can say something like, you could, you know, Pete might throw a red flag there. That's the most you can do. You can't say, if he threw a red flag, I guarantee he'd win. That should be a Seahawk first down. You don't do that. It's a professional courtesy for the officials on the field. But what if the world's worst ump in the major leagues, Angel Hernandez, is back behind the plate? I saw the Mariners now with a 4-0 win of the Ragnars yesterday.
Yeah, it was a beautiful game. Logan Gilbert pitched a gem, and Julio Rodriguez got the monkey off his back, his first homer of the season.
Hey, there we go. High drive left field. Wave. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Adios, pelota. So there, that's how it would be called at Giant Stadium. So the Mariners with the big L monkey off their back, too, on this one. And from what I saw, a well-played game. What's his name? Boone, the manager of the Yankees, being kicked out for dissing an ump. But what if your ump is so bad? What you can do is you can call the game and you can go brr. But anyway, everyone pay attention to this. The count is 2-1, 2 balls, 1 strike. 2 more pitches to go. See if you can tell whether or not the calls are good.
Whoa. 2-1. And, oh, my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me.
He goes old John McEnroe on that. I mean, it was like I was calling a game. I mean, it was like Stevie Wonder was calling the game. These called strikes were so out. I mean, the catcher had to stretch to catch the ball, and that's a little trick from high school to make it look like it's a ball. But it really was a way outside ball. The guy should have had a walk on that pitch, but now he's getting punched out.
You cannot be serious.
What in the world? We've just completely lost it here.
Well, so the guy's doing the walk of shame, and this is not a swing. He just struck out, not one swing, just three very bad calls, as if the guy owed money to the Mirage.
And, oh, my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me.
Not kidding. So anyway, that was the Astros at the Rangers. And I did not see if that guy was on the rotation for any of the Mariners games. But, okay, so the thing is, that was the, I think, Rangers home radio team. And they were spoken to about that. And, I mean, you're on the road to the team that you're calling. You know, and every at-bat is a PCU down. You're watching every single at-bat. You're watching trends. I mean, I'll say this for your baseball radio teams. You're as close to a part of the team, more close than any TV crew. I mean, you're eating at the same pregame buffet, the whole thing. You're seeing every at-bat because you have to call it. You don't sit back and, like, sip off your beer and go, that was good at bat or whatever. Like that'll be my wiffle ball play-by-play. Hey, good at bat number three or whatever. I mean, you're as close to a part of the team as any media can be. You know, all your newspaper guys, they miss entire innings, okay? They have their byline ready after the third inning. They sent it back to the Times. Spoiler. But this, I mean, it's killing them. And seeing this, you can tell the guy's disappointment. Well, they were spoken to about this. They were spoken to because the umpire's family were watching the game, and these guys were being mean.
Whoa. 2-1. And, oh, my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me.
The reason that my wiffle ball league is going to be perfect is because you know what the strike zone is in wiffle ball? It's a fruit box. It's an apple box.
Okay.
Behind the plate. If it goes in there, that's a strike. If you didn't hit it, it's a strike. It's perfect. You don't argue with a cardboard box.
What's in the box?
Your strikes is what it is. And so that's the convention. And I got to say, I wouldn't say no to that in Major League Baseball. But, I mean, they already have the, you know, computer-generated perfect strike zone. And that's supposed to be in your eyeball when you are a umpire.
And I've never understood this. Sorry, I'm a layperson when it comes to that.
You have got to be kidding me!
I wasn't kidding him.
Does it adjust based upon the batter's height?
And his knees and belt buckle?
Well, I mean, if you have Altuve, who's like 5'1", or Aaron Judge, who's like 6'4", the strike zone has to change, right? So does the digital strike zone change on TV?
It does not.
Really?
It does not. You would think if he had like a...
Well, if your knees are 8 inches lower than another
like
guy.
Remember Kevin Euclid?
Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
The Greek god of on-base hits, the A's had him for the Moneyball year, and then he went to the Red Sox. But he had that wacky strike zone. And that is, they had to throw to his strike zone. And that was his sweet spot. And so that's how Kevin Euclid drew a paycheck in Major League Baseball. He got on base, and that's what the Red Sox got him for. But this is watching this. If you go to Umpire Auditor on the Twitter, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, so Major League Baseball's Umpire Association said no. Don't be mean to us. And by the way, I totally failed on this one. I promoted that we're going to have my friend, a career Naval Special Warfare Officer. I asked him yesterday, what is this 748 breathing? Have you ever heard of this? Is there a secret way that Navy SEALs have their delicious salmon and go to sleep? And I'll read you what he replied when we come back. The question was, is there such a thing as a 478 SEAL sleep method? I need to debunk this and then bad word. comes out of a bowl. And he said, I've never heard of it. Is that a method by which you sleep with four chicks until you build up? And then he goes on with the uniquely Navy SEAL horrible idea. But anyway, those of you saying that, or you paid some ex-SEAL to teach you the 478 sleep method, it's crap, all right? They don't make you tread water and then learn the 478 and then drape a seal over your face or whatever. It's you were all wrong. And we'll get to that tomorrow. But 7:30, we'll talk to a Fox News reporter about the Freedom Caucus saying it is time to defund this biased joke of a media content producer called NPR. That's your tax dollars funding that thing. If it's any good, it would support itself like radio, like the Jesus intended, like AM 770 KTTH.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.